Thanks to those who download these talks as podcasts from iTunes. We invite your comments, correspondence, and feedback by email at utahchristians@gmail.com. We also have a membership class at our website, utahchristians.org. We'd like to thank those people that have taken the membership class, become members. We couldn't do what we do without your help and support. Everything is inspired by the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder and acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It's not always the case, but whenever I find something funny that's loosely related to the topic, I share it in the beginning. At the pearly gates, a frocked Catholic priest arrived. Gabriel said, "What is your name?" "My name is Father O'Leary, and I pastored the St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City for 30 years. "Oh yeah, Father O'Leary, got your name right here. We have a little bungalow for you on Elm Street. Go ahead and make yourself at home." Right behind Father O'Leary was a zany fellow with a mustache, a pair of check shorts, Hawaiian shirt. His name was Joe Cohen. He said, "My name is Joe Cohen. I drive a taxi." Gabriel looked down. "Oh yes, we've got you the mansion on Spruce Street, 20-bedroom mansion." Well, Father O'Leary couldn't help but overhearing, and he said, "Wait a minute. I sermoned for 30 years speaking the gospel. This guy drives a cab. How does he get a mansion, and I just get a little bungalow?" Gabriel says, "Sir, we judge by results here. When you preached, everyone else would go to sleep, but when he drove his cab, people prayed." So we'd like to talk today about being a good example. Every one of us has a ministry. It may not be behind the pulpit like this, but the pulpit is your life. People are watching how you live, especially if you purport to be a God-centered person. They're looking at how you respond to adversity, how consistent you are, and how you treat people around you. Actions speak louder than words. Right in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that whatever action is performed by a great man, common men will follow in his footsteps. And whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. Prabhupada, our guru, once said, "This Krishna consciousness movement is trying to create men and women of ideal character. Therefore, we have four rules for the clerics: no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling, and no meat eating." Those are the negatives, but the positive that gives us the higher taste that enables us to walk away from those other lower activities is the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Krishna is a Sanskrit name for God. It means all attractive. Rama means the highest pleasure absolute, and Hare is a way of addressing the Lord. Now, God is also described as Ananda Rasa Vyat. His nature is that He's blissful. If you look at the Krishna figure there, the darkish figure playing the flute, you'll see He's smiling. He's always smiling. You'll never see Him not smiling. But God is always blissful. That's His nature. If you associate with the Lord through His sound incarnation, any bona fide name of His, Krishna, Allah, Govinda, Adonai, the first symptom is you become happy. You can't pal around with a cheerful, happy, ebullient person and be morose, can you? You can't. It'll rub off on you. So you cannot, on a regular daily basis, chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari, and be morose, be negative, be sour, be bitter, be resentful, be judgmental, and be critical. And it's interesting that when you look at Christendom, there are so many references to the practice of uplifting yourself and taking your behavior to the next level through the holy names of the Lord. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, if that isn't emphasizing the name of the Lord, I don't know what is. How many churches and cathedrals do you know that are called the Church of the Holy Name or the Cathedral of the Holy Name? And every prayer and every sermon that I've ever heard, it ends in the name of the Lord. And yet, we don't find anywhere that the name of the Lord, the chanting, the glorification, the honoring of the Lord, of the chanting of His holy name is systematically being done. There are many hymns, but they tell stories, they have prepositions, adverbs, adjectives. If the name of the Lord has the kind of potency that's claimed in the Bible, in the Quran, the Bhagavad Gita, and the Guru Granth Sahib, then we're going to get a much more concentrated experience from a mantra as opposed to a hymn. A mantra is just names of God. That's all it is. Leaves out all the extra verbiage, all the words that have less potency that tend to dilute the effect. And it's just names of God. Govinda, Gopala, Madhusudana, Yadavaya, Madhavaya, Namaha. When one chants the names of God, one becomes infected by love of God. There are many religions in the United States of America. There are many denominations. But in spite of that, how many lovers of God are there? How many people who are mad head over heels in love of God? That's what Prabhupada came. That was his contribution. One priest in Australia was talking to Prabhupada in, 1973. He said, Swamiji, how have you done it? How did you do it? We tried everything to interest these young people in God, and we couldn't do it. They had no interest. And within a few weeks of your coming, they're mad after God. They go out into the streets with drums and cymbals, and they sing and they dance, and they chant the names of God. What kind of miracle is this? Benjamin Franklin said, the best sermon is a good example that you set. We should be so peaceful, so generous, so kind, so good-natured that it draws people to us, whether you're Mormon, Catholic, Jewish. One of the best ways to let your light shine is just go out and be happy, be friendly, have a positive attitude. It says, preach at all times, but use words only if necessary. Our lives are speaking to people. Actions are stronger than words. You go into the office where people are complaining, business is down, they don't like the boss. Instead of going along to get along, instead of testing the temperature or the atmosphere and adjusting to it, you act as a thermostat. The thermometer just takes the temperature and adjusts, but the thermostat can change the atmosphere, can change the temperature. So when you walk into that office or that classroom, or that family reunion with all kinds of cynical, negative cousins and uncles and aunts, you have a smile on your face. You're grateful that you have a job. You're grateful that you have a family. You focus on what's right, and you don't dwell on what's wrong. You just minister to those people. Instead of letting the environment get to you, instead of letting the negative people drag you down, you just brought them up. You just changed the atmosphere or the environment. You may not know how to preach, but anybody here not know how to smile? Smile is a great sermon. You may not be able to get up here behind a podium and string polysyllabic words together, but you can be kind to someone. You can give them an encouraging word. You can be stable in the midst of adversity. I remember many, many years ago, all over Europe, the newspapers printed headline story. George Harrison, the Beatles, had been on a plane going somewhere, and the plane was buffeted by strong turbulence, going up 100 feet and then being thrust down 300 feet. Pandemonium broke out in the cabin. People were screaming, crying, losing it totally. The article reported how George Harrison calmly sat in his seat and chanted, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hundreds of people looked into Krishna consciousness as a result of that news article. People are reading our lives. They're watching the way that we live. We need to ask ourselves, are we reflecting the world of light, or we are allowing ourselves to be infected by the negative, defeatist world of darkness? People don't see God, but they see us. So the question is, are we representing God in the way that we should? Do we draw people to us, or do we push them away? Are we happy, good-natured, a joy to be around? Unfortunately, some people, and This includes many so-called religious people. Other people can't wait for them to leave the room. They always got a problem. They're discouraged. They always have a sad story. They're draining your energy. Here's a newsflash. If you mope around all the time with no joy, no enthusiasm, then no one's going to want to hang out with you. You're doing more harm than good. If you're a sour, resentful, bitter person who goes through life with your corners of your mouth turned down, do everybody a favor. Don't put a "Honk if you love Jesus" bumper sticker on your car. If you're in touch with the reservoir of pleasure, notify your face. Krishna is lifting a mountain here. He's lifting a mountain to protect the inhabitants of Vrindavan from a devastating rainfall. And yet, you notice, the smile hasn't left his face. In spite of the stressful circumstances, in spite of the weight that he's bearing, in spite of the responsibility that he's carrying, he's not having a pity party. He's not saying, "Why me?" He's not asking, "Can I get a little help here?" He's just smiling. In happiness and distress, in hot and cold, in honor and dishonor, Krishna is always smiling. So if you're a Krishna devotee or a devotee of God, then the least that you can do when you consider all that God has done for us is put a smile on your face. We're meant to be the light of the world, and our smile is the switch that turns it on. You're a poor representative if you go around all dark, negative, with furrows in your brow. Even in the mundane sense, if you represent a company like Xerox or IBM or New Skin, you go around negative, sour, complaining, sloppy, run down, the boss is going to call you into the office and say, "I'm letting you go. I don't want our company to be represented like that." Some of you may think that you don't have a ministry. But you do. You have a powerful ministry. You're preaching a sermon with your life. And the best message that you can deliver is just go out and be happy, be good to people. Let the love shine through you everywhere you go. Sometimes when you smile a lot, people get suspicious. When we have the color festival here every year, a lot of the people who drive by get suspicious. They're thinking they're too happy. It's not right to be that happy. There's something wrong. They must be high on drugs. It's too much fun. Something should be done about it. Well, let them be suspicious. I stand guilty as charged. I'm high on the holy names of the Lord. I'm high on hugging and considering myself one with all of God's parts and parcels, laughing, singing the names of the Lord with Catholics, with Methodists, with Jews, with Mormons, and even atheists. I'm guilty as charged of not being judgmental, critical, and sour. Prabhupada, when he first came to this country in 1965, he went to the Lower East Side of New York, and then he went to the Haight-Ashbury. One time he was on television. The interviewer asked him, "Swamiji, having just come from India to the Haight-Ashbury, what do you make of these hippies?" Prabhupada thought a minute. He said, "They are something extraordinary." But he noticed that they were gray-faced for the most part and morose. Free love, LSD, yada, 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 did not make them happy. Was not enough to put a smile on their face. But after nurturing them and bringing them along and getting them to chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari, and eating pure vegetarian food offered to the Lord called prasadam. This is where yoga begins, controlling the tongue. And the tongue has two businesses, vibrating and eating. So you can spiritualize those two functions of your tongue, you have got spiritual life very, very well started. You simply speak and sing and converse about the Lord, and you eat only vegetarian food that has been offered to him. Prabhupada noted that very shortly after having controlled the tongue in these two important ways, his formerly morose, gray-faced disciples were bright and jubilantly dancing like peacocks. With all the denominations and all the sects and all the churches, when we think where we would have been without Prabhupada, who's delivering the natural process to awaken love of God. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. That alone is enough to make us raise our hands and shout hallelujah. Prabhupada comes in a line of disciple succession from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya appeared 500 years ago in India as an incarnation of Krishna to show us how to awaken love of God. And his main activity was to chant and to infect other people with the joy of chanting. His name in itself foreshadows his mission. Chaitanya means the living force as exhibited in eternity. So how do we act when we're hooked up with the Supreme in eternal bliss and knowledge? Example is given, water, when it's in its natural state, flows, it's liquid. If it's heated excessively, it becomes gas. If it's cooled excessively, it becomes ice. But in its natural state, it flows like water. So we may be pressured by consumerism, by keeping up with the Joneses, by the so-called standards of our modern day culture, and it makes us into something unnatural, like ice or gas. But when we are in our normal, healthy state of mind, we're mad after God. We're normally, wholesomely mad after God. Just like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So if you're not bouncing up in the morning saying, this is another day that the Lord has made, and excited about honoring Him with your words and your minds and your deeds, then you should take your temperature, because you're not in a completely healthy state of mind. Krishna devotees are up at 6 o'clock in the morning playing drums and cymbals and singing and dancing. Who else does that? We don't always feel like dancing at 6 o'clock in the morning, but we rise to the occasion. That's how you would build character. You don't always feel like paying your taxes, but you do it anyway. You don't always feel like going to work Monday morning, but you do it anyway. You don't always feel like singing and dancing, but you do it anyway. You don't wait until you feel like dancing, but you dance into the feeling. And that's yoga. That's the discipline. That's the devotional yoga that we practice. I'm glad Jai Krishna just walked in, because a very dear friend of his was a devotee who happened to work at BYU. He was close to retirement, and he didn't want to jeopardize anything there, although I seriously doubt that knowing he was involved in the temple would have jeopardized it. But nevertheless, he wanted to keep his cards close to his chest. And so he came one year to the Festival of India. TK and his Nam Rock band were up from San Diego. And Gerald was a keyboardist, so he was in the band, but he didn't want to be recognized, so he wore big sunglasses and a sombrero. I mean, this was 3 feet wide, which kind of drooped down over his face. And his name was Gerald Dick. He passed away a few years ago. But he said, in this particular incarnation, call me Geraldo Ricardo. So he played. And the festival was Saturday. He went to BYU on Monday morning, and the students were here. Hey, good job! I saw your picture in the paper. Yeah, I was at the Festival of India too. High five! He's thinking, how? Even if I had my picture in the paper, I had the sunglasses, the sombrero. So he, as quickly as he could, got a copy of the Daily Universe, and there was a devotee. His name is Bhakta Avatar, dead ringer for Gerald. Dead ringer. They could have been twins. And this devotee, his discipline, his service, just like you might say my service is speaking, someone else's service is cooking, someone else's service is gardening, his service, his calling, what he was anointed to do, was to dance. And not just dance for 5 or 10 minutes, but if you had a 5-hour festival, he would dance for 5 hours with nonstop. And this so much got the attention of the festival goers, and his picture was taken, and he was honored by, of all the different beautifully costumed dancers and musicians, his picture was chosen to be featured on the front page of the Daily Universe. And I believe that's fitting. Because he wasn't just dancing according to his feelings, but he was dancing as a discipline, as a yoga. He was rising to the occasion. Similarly, at 5 o'clock in the morning, you may not always feel like dancing, but that doesn't matter. Life is like that. There are many things that you may not feel like doing at the moment, but you do them because they're right. And you force yourself to do them, though you're not inclined at the moment, and in the forcing of yourself to do them, you develop a taste for it. It is said that most of what people remember, retain, take away with them after an encounter with others is not what we say, but it's our body language. People don't very often remember what you say. In fact, statistics say they remember less than 10% of what you say, but they always remember how you made them feel. You can say the right thing, but with a sour, deadpan attitude, they go away not wanting to meet you again. On the other hand, people may remark, or they should remark about you, I don't remember what you said, but I do remember the enthusiasm with which you spoke and the excitement that it generated. Pay attention. If you want to be a light to the world, pay attention to your body language. Look people in the eye. In a resounding voice, thank them if that's appropriate. We cannot get so preoccupied and so clouded over by our own petty little problems that we're not taking time to notice other people. A lot of us need to slow down in our own lives, be open to interruptions, and show people that we care. Other people may be going through all kinds of difficulty that you know nothing about. But if you become aware, to live a considerate life means to consider what other people are going through. And you may notice something about them and just give them one encouraging word that could help get them through the whole day. It is said that if you can share your trouble with someone, that will half the effect of the trouble. So don't just robotically go to the gym, go to the grocery store, go to school, go to work. These are your places of ministry. One devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was all excited about his newly adopted practice of chanting Hare Krishna. He wanted to be as much of a boon to the missionary movement as he could. So he went up to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he said, "What is the main duty of a devotee of Krishna?" He halfway expected Lord Chaitanya would tell him, "Oh, leave your family, go travel, become a swami, renounce everything." Lord Chaitanya didn't say that at all. Very simply, he said, "Yari deke, kari, koho, Krishna upadai." Stay where you are. If you're married, stay married. Happily married. Raise your children. But wherever you go, and whoever you meet, instruct people. With your words, certainly, but with your behavior and your bodily language and your care and your concern, instruct people about the science of Krishna. Nothing happens by accident. Anybody who crosses your steps, you can be assured that Krishna has sent them to you because they need what you have. So make sure that you're not so preoccupied with your own problems that you neglect to make small deposits into their lives. Yanhara darshana mukya aisha krishnanam. A devotee of the Lord is one who, when people see his face or her face, they want to become devotees. They want the integrity, the peace, the joy, the kindness that they have. Now this doesn't stop with human society. Inside the body of each and every animal is a spirit soul part and parcel of God, just like us. It just so happens that due to karmic circumstances, those souls which have as high an origin as we do happen to be living their current lives as animals. But it's our job to guide them, as well as souls in human body, back to home, back to God. When Lord Chaitanya was traveling in South India and the animals saw his face, his radiance and his joy, they got up on their hind legs, the elephants, the tigers, the deers, and they also, even the animals, started chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. In the Bible, there's an interesting story about Daniel. Daniel refused to eat the meat and the wine that Nebuchadnezzar offered him. And Nebuchadnezzar got angry and threw him in a den of lions. Now, Daniel had been a lifelong vegetarian. So the lions sniffed him. They sniffed his bodily pores. They discerned the odor which would come out of him. There's a certain odor which you emanate if you're an inveterate meat eater. And there's a certain other, much more sweet, appealing odor if you have never shed blood or been the cause of shedding blood. So it only took the lions a few seconds to determine. He has never caused any harm to the animal kingdom. He has respected us, so we're going to respect him. And they gave him a pass. They just lay down and they were all, when the king looked in the den, they were all getting along. Here we have so many animals, llamas, peacocks, parrots. I can't even keep track of them. Seems like every day more of them show up. And wherever you go, they track you. There's always 30 pairs of eyes watching you wherever you go on the property. And I would guess, although they can't speak to us, I would guess that in the normal state of things, they worship us like gods. They worship us like gods, like a little brother, a little sister just wants to be with the big brother and the big sister, and maybe annoying sometimes, and there may be some places you want to go that you really don't need your brother and sister to go there, like a hole in the head. But you never considered killing them and eating them for lunch, would you? The animals are our little brothers and our little sisters, and it's our responsibility not to violate the natural worshipful attitude that they have to us, but to respect that, to take that as a stewardship, and to treat it as one of our greatest responsibilities in life, and to guide them, and to love them, and to protect them, and to never terrorize them, to never enslave them, and to never eat them, but to be a light guiding the souls and the bodies of animals back to Godhead. Just as much, in fact, it's probably a lot easier because they haven't been crammed with all kinds of silly notions by modern society that human beings do. It's probably an easier job, in fact, if you take it seriously, to put the animals on the path back to home, back to Godhead. You never know who's watching you. Here's a poem. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather men walk with me than merely show the way. The sermon you deliver may be very wise and true, but I'd rather get my lesson by observing what you do. For I might misunderstand you and the high advice you give, but there's no misunderstanding how you act and how you live. My question is, what kind of a sermon are we sharing with people every day? We're containers meant to be filled and overflowing with God. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Everywhere we go, we should be dispensing encouragement, dispensing hope, dispensing joy. But Chiru, I have so many problems. I need someone to encourage me. No, you need to sow a seed. You may have difficulties in your own life, but the best thing you can do, the best tool that you have for overcoming your own challenges and your own discouragements is to be a blessing to other people. Be a giver. Make a difference in someone else's life. If you make a difference in someone else's life, then when you need it, someone else, by God's arrangement, will be a difference maker in your own life. In our times of difficulty, Be a blessing to others. Don't sit around waiting for your ship to come in. Some of you haven't even sent one out yet. We need to start giving people encouragement, start giving them love, start giving them hope and joy. The truth is that every one of us, every day, is dispensing something. But too many of us are dispensing negative things. Defeat, sarcasm, cynicism, self-pity, pride. You don't necessarily have to articulate it, but people can feel it rolling off of you. My encouragement today is don't let that be you. Go out each day dispensing enthusiasm, friendliness, and kind words. Let your light shine to all living creatures, whether they are in human or animal bodies. Please don't be kind to humans and dispense cruelty to the animals. Overflow with victory. Be full wherever we go. Be an example. Some people think that they need to blow other people away with criticism and set them right with words like a fire hose. But let's set a good example of sweetness and love and consideration and be more like a mister, which refreshes them as they go about their day. Talk is cheap. Instead of trying to cram things down other people's throat, instead of blasting them with a fire hose, let our own sweet, loving example act like a refreshing mist. Most people, if truth be known, they already know what they're doing wrong. They don't need our assessment, our criticism, our condemnation. What they need is our love. Being a good example is what opens a door to someone's heart. Let your light shine. Be a container full with God. Don't keep it to yourself. Share it with others. If you go out every day being a good example, you'll not only make a positive impact in other people's lives, but Krishna will use those seeds to impact your own life. He'll cause you to come up higher. He'll show you more of His blessings and favor. You'll end up living the life of victory that He has in store for you in this life, and in the next life, you'll go back home, back to God. Thank you very much for your kind attention. I know it hasn't been easy because of the heat, but at least you're all still awake. If you receive this message, please repeat after me. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.